still coming along. So we just thank God so much that he's able to be back with us again. We are continuing our series of studies. And as I've said periodically, as we've been doing this since February, we hope that you have been enjoying these lessons that we've been sharing with you. And we hope that they have been reaffirming your faith. That's the objective. That's our purpose, to reaffirm our faith on those things that are most surely believed among us. Faithful children of God, believe in the Bible and what the Bible teaches. Our objective also is to instruct and encourage others who may not believe these things to take another look at God's Word and put your faith in what you can read in the Bible. Because in the end, that's what's going to judge us in the last day. This morning's lesson is taken from Mark chapter 16. Thank Brother Walter Stone for reading verses 9 through 16. And in those passages, and the complete chapter of 16, starting all the way back at verse number 1 and reading on downward. It was on the first day of the week, on Sunday, that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And the Bible says, as the reading was shared this morning by Brother Stone, says that he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, whom he had cast out 7 devils. And after that, he appeared to 2 men that was walking in the country. And in Luke's gospel, chapter 24, says that these 2 men were going to a village by the name of Emmaus. They reported, of course, whom they had seen. The apostles didn't believe them. Isn't that amazing? They did not believe them. On his third appearance, the Bible says that he appeared to the 11 apostles. Judas now is already dead. And he upbraided, he rebuked them for their unbelief. It is amazing then that after he rebuked them, the same unbelieving apostles, he gave to them what we call today the Great Commission. He said unto them, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. From these passages, that is Mark 15, 16, and 15 and 16, Christ combines belief and baptism together, having the end result salvation. Thus, this morning, we still believe, we who believe the Bible, we still believe that baptism is necessary to be saved. Again, we're talking about things most surely believed among us. We still believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. Almost all other religious organizations, even though there are some, many perhaps, that do baptize, do not believe that it's necessary to be baptized to be saved. And a lot of religious people don't know what the history of their religion really is. So you find many people say, yes, I've been baptized. Yes, we believe in baptism. But they don't realize that the teaching of many of these religions have as one of their fundamental beliefs, and I guess I should say disbeliefs, is that it's not necessary to be baptized in order to be saved. But when you read the book of Acts, and Acts is sometimes referred to as the book of conversions, there are many cases of conversion in the book of Acts. And at least 10 of those occasions specifically mentions baptism. It's inferred in all of the cases of conversion. When you read where many believed, though baptism may not be stated in that particular passage, but it's inferred that baptism was involved. But there are at least 10 cases from Acts chapter 2 all the way to Acts 22 that specifically mentions baptism. It is, however, unfortunate that baptism is one of the most controversial subjects, along with the one true church that we talked about last week, in all the Bible. Yet it is one of the plainest subjects to understand if it wasn't for all the false teaching concerning it. Perhaps it is because of a lack of understanding as to what it is and the purpose behind it that people don't believe that it's necessary. And so this morning, I want to spend a little time in pointing out why we believe what we believe about baptism. That is, that it's necessary to be saved. Well, first of all, what is baptism? The word baptism is derived from the Greek word baptizo, which means to plunge, to dip, to immerse. That word immerse means to submerge or cover up. Or, as we'll look later at a scripture, to bury. I would suppose that the reason why so many people are hung up on this thing of baptism being necessary is because they are looking at the water, and they will say many times that there's nothing in the water. What they fail to understand is that baptism is not water. Somebody say, huh? Baptism is not the water itself, but it is the agent by which baptism is accomplished. However, water is involved. Notice a few scriptures this morning that point to water where baptism was performed. Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea. This is in reference to the people going out to John the Baptist, who was baptizing, and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 11 of chapter 3, Jesus is speaking. He says, I indeed baptize, or rather, John is speaking about Jesus now. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not water, with water. John chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, and John was also baptizing in Enon, near Salem, because there was much water there. I want you to keep that in your mind, because we're going to come back and mention that later on in the lesson, much water. They came and were baptized. I said baptism is not the water itself, but the water is the agent in which baptism is performed. Yes. Baptism actually is the act wherein the command is carried out, thus giving one a clear conscience before God. Amen. Look at first briefly in verse 20 and 21. The Bible says there, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Of course, we know that's referring back to Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 23 down there, where the Bible says, all flesh died, and everything that moved upon the earth. Only Noah remained alive, and those that went in the ark with him, that was those eight souls, they were saved by water. And then the next passage says this, the like figure, similarly to this, or just like this, he says, even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. To put it another way, baptism is what one does when he replies, or when he complies, I should say, to God's command to be baptized. In other words, when I go down into the water, and again, people say water don't save you. No, water doesn't save you. But I got to go down into the water to do what God say, so that God will save me. Because if I don't get into the water, then I don't get into the thing that will save me, which is baptism. That is my complying with the command of God. But when I do what God say, not only through baptism, but when I do what God say in anything else that he tells me, then I can have a good conscience. I don't have to worry about a thing, because I know I've done what God said. You know, when a person is guilty of a crime or guilty of a misdeed, they can't really hold their head up and look really straight, because they know they're guilty. But when they're innocent, they don't have to worry about a thing. When we do what God says, we got a good conscience. We got a clear conscience. And that's what baptism is all about. Jesus says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When one obeys that command in baptism, he goes into the water. He comes up a saved person. He has a clear conscience because he has done what God say do. And again, it's all because of the resurrection of Christ. What is the purpose of baptism? And if people would just understand the purpose of baptism, it wouldn't be so difficult, perhaps, to get people to realize that I need to be baptized. What's the purpose? I want to talk about three purposes of baptism this morning. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 through 38, familiar passages. On the first Pentecost day after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit again had ascended and set upon the apostles, Peter preached the first gospel sermon, beginning down about verse number 22. When he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. And he goes on down and he preaches the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he gets down to verse number 36 and he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised him up and made him both Lord and Christ. Verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, men, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What did these people realize? They realized that they were in sin. They realized that they had guilt on their consciences. And they wanted to know what to do to get rid of that guilt, to get rid of that sin. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. What is baptism for? It is for the remission of sin. And that's why I don't understand why people, again, it's because they've been misled through false teaching to how people can believe that baptism is not necessary for salvation. Because we cannot be saved in our sins. So we got to get rid of the sin. If I don't ever get rid of my sin, I can never be saved. Because Jesus says in John 8 and verse 21, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. We all want to go to heaven, don't we? But Jesus says, without getting rid of your sins, you can't go. So baptism, Peter says, is for the remission of sins. It's order to have your sins blotted out, taken care of. Paul, who was Saul at the time, in the city of Damascus, was praying in the street called Straight. God sent a gospel preacher by the name of Ananias to him and spoke to him and preached to him and taught him. In verse number 16, he said to him, and now, why tarriest thou? Do what? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. How do we get cleansed from our sins? They got to be washed away. How are they washed away? In baptism. When I do what God tells me, he will wash me, he will cleanse me of my sin. And that only takes place in baptism. Right. I'm talking about folks who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. How is it then that people can say baptism is not necessary for salvation? I know there is one group, because I came out of that group, that has in its doctrine that baptism is necessary for obedience, but not for salvation. That's a contradiction of terms. How can anything be necessary for obedience and not necessary for salvation? Because Jesus is the Savior of those that obey him. They don't realize what they're saying. They just wrote something up in a book that sounds good to them. That's the Baptist faith that has that in their doctrine. But the Bible says that one needs to be washed from his sins. So baptism then has as one of its purposes to cleanse a person or wash a person from their sins. And until we are washed from our sins, we're still in our sins. Another purpose of baptism that people don't realize, I suppose, that claim that it's not necessary for salvation, is found in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 and 27, Paul said to the Galatian Christians, he says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you," he says, "as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." As many of us have been what, Paul? Baptized into Christ. Have put on Christ. So how does one get into Christ? It is through baptism. There's no way we can get into Christ unless we are baptized into him. Everybody, no doubt, will say that Christ is the Savior. Well, if Christ is the Savior, then I need to get into Christ. Because the scripture tells me that that's where salvation is. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10. Paul says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Where is salvation? In Christ. How do I get into Christ? Through baptism. Is baptism necessary for salvation? I believe it is, don't you? Because that's the only way I can get into Christ. I can't believe my way into Christ. I can't even feel my way into Christ. I must be baptized into Christ. Now, when I'm baptized into Christ, then I'm where salvation is. You know, it's like talking about being a member of the church to be saved. People say the church don't save. You're right. The church don't save. But the saved are in the church. So unless I'm in the church, I'm not saved. The church doesn't save, no. But the saved are in the church. Because that's where the Lord put them. Once he saves them. So somebody will say, water again doesn't save. But that's where baptism takes place, in the water. So you got to get in the water in order to get your conscience clear to be saved from your sins. No wonder Nicodemus was told by Jesus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he can't even see the kingdom of heaven. So why do folks fight against baptism, sir? Because they don't realize what's the purpose of it. So baptism forgives a person or removes sins from the person. It also puts one into Christ. And the only way we can get into Christ is through baptism. Then somebody will even put up this argument. Well, Christ is the Savior, and it's the blood of Christ that saves a person. Oh, you're so right. You're so right. But how do you reach the blood? You got to contact the blood. To say that I can contact the blood without getting into Christ is the same thing as saying
that I can have lights on in my house without having electricity running to it. Now, Robert can string the lines all up and down Wellington Point. But unless I have a connection to the lines out on the street, I'll never be able to flip the switch and have the lights come on in my house. The blood of Christ does save us. But somehow we got to make connection with the blood. How do we make that connection? It's through baptism. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. He says, "Know you not? Or don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into what? His death." What happened in his death? He shed his blood in his death. The Bible says in John chapter 19 that the soldiers came to the two thieves and to hasten on death. They break their legs or broke their legs. But when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. But then they took a spear and they speared him in the side. And the Bible says, forthwith came blood and water. Jesus shed his blood in his death. And in order to make contact with the blood, I got to be baptized into his death where he shed his blood. That's how the connection is made. No other way can we reach the blood other than through baptism. So again, Paul says to the Roman church, don't you know that you were baptized, what? Into his death. Thank God for his death. Thank God for baptism so that I can reach his death. So baptism then puts word into Christ where salvation is. And until I get into Christ where that salvation is, I'll never be saved. And it takes baptism to do that. Again, as they said in 1 Peter, as it was said in 1 Peter that we've already considered, that baptism does also now save us. Not a putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. And I want to tell us this morning that we need good consciences, yes, toward God. And the only way that we can have a good conscience toward God is that our conscience got to be purged from dead works. That's sin. And Jesus Christ is the one that does that, but he does it through baptism. How can one say that baptism is not necessary for salvation? When people are saved, as I've already said, the Lord adds those individuals to the church. And we need to be in the church, again, to be saved and go to heaven. We would remember if we were here, those who were not here, several weeks ago, I talked about the fact that the church is the doorway or the entryway or the gateway to heaven. And we can't get to heaven unless we go through the gate. Genesis 28 and verse 17 describes the house of God as the gate of heaven. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says the house of God is the church. So if the house is the gate and the house is the church, then the church is the gate. So to get to heaven, we got to go through the gate. We got to go through the church. So nobody can get to heaven unless they go through the church. And how do we get into church? Into the church? We are baptized into Christ, and Christ adds us to the church. Baptism is necessary for salvation. Thus, then, Jesus said again in Mark 16, verse 15, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. It's amazing when you go back to the New Testament again and you look at all of these cases that I've already talked about in the book of Acts. It's amazing that none of those cases you won't find one verse where anybody put up an argument against baptism. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon that I already talked about, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, Then they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. And I would have guessed in somebody's imaginary mind, another verse ought to be there, but some of them protested, saying, we don't have to be. It ain't there. They gladly received his word and were baptized. Why did they fuss? Why did they argue against it? Because they wanted to be saved. And if people want to be saved today, honest folks who will not be misled by false teaching will do what the Bible says in order to be saved. They gladly received his word and we were baptized. We go on and run a little bit further in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? When Philip ran to him that was riding along in the chariot. Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 35, then Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now watch this. And the next verse says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Do you see him protesting against baptism? Why? Because he realized that it was necessary. He wanted to be baptized. What does hinder me? Folks are not saying that today. What does hinder me? They're saying, why do I have to? What a turnaround. All because Satan has blinded the minds of people, lest they believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, what does hinder me to be baptized? Run a little bit further in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. We read about the Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas had been imprisoned in jail. And at midnight, the Bible says that they were freed from the prison because of an earthquake that the Lord sent. The jailer realized that they had fled and he was going to take his life. Paul said, don't do yourself any harm because we're all here. And then the Bible says this in verse number 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came down trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and said, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Bible goes on and says in verse number 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And again, I may go back to that verse again. Again, I made this point before a long time ago when I was preaching, perhaps making a point on baptism or whatever. Many folks will stop reading at this passage right here. They say, see there, I told you all you got to do is believe. No, that's not all that the context of the scripture says. All you got to do is keep on reading. The Bible says in the next verse, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that was in his house. Why was it necessary for them to speak the word of the Lord to them? Because I read over in Romans chapter 10, down there about verse number 16 or so, that says, how can they believe on him in whom they have not heard? So he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your house and you shall be saved. How are you going to hear it? How are you going to believe, brother? You got to hear it. So he goes on and speaks to them and teaches them and preaches to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible goes on and says in the next passage, and he took them the same hour of the night. Remember this midnight. He takes them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his faith. Why didn't he fuss? Why? Because he wanted to be saved. He wanted to be saved. So I would say today, when people really want to be saved, they'll do what Jesus said. Do you really want to be saved today? Then do what Jesus said. Baptism is necessary for salvation. Before I close the lesson this morning, when we talk about baptism, let me push it a little bit further and talk about this burial. That's the mode of baptism. That's how baptism is done. It is a burial. Why do I say that? Because in the religious world, there are some says that you can sprinkle or you can pour. It's your choice. Since you want to be baptized, we'll give you an option, they say. You can sprinkle, you can pour, or we'll immerse you. Who gave anybody the right to tell the Lord how baptism ought to be done? It's God's plan. It's not man's. God says it's a burial. So Paul says to Romans chapter to the Romans in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4, he says, therefore we are buried with him by what? Baptism into death. It is a burial. It is an immersion. It is a covering up. It is a burial. Now remember, I told you to remember much water. You can't bury, you can't cover nobody up with just sprinkling. You can't cover nobody up with just pouring a little bit of water. The only way you can cover people up is you got to bury them in the water. Why didn't Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch out there in the desert, when they got to that little water, why didn't Philip just reach down and get a little water and just sprinkle it over? But the Bible says they what? They stopped the chariot and they both went down into the water. And then they came up out of the water. It was necessary to bury the eunuch. Baptism is a burial. It requires much water. Anybody this morning want to be buried in the water of able baptism? We got much water back here. We got enough back there to cover you up. It's highly important then, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that we do what the Lord says, like he says do it. If he says a burial, it's a burial. If he says a burial, it's a burial. We must do it exactly the way he say do it. Only then have we obeyed the Lord. And if we haven't obeyed the Lord, we will not be saved. Because remember, Hebrews 5 verse 8 and 9 says, though he was son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that do what? Obey him. Do you know what obey means? Do what he say. Do what he say. He's the one with the plan. And that plan was in motion before the foundation of the world. That's the way he was going to save mankind. Nobody can change God's plan. We got to do it God's way. So we believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. Why? Because Jesus said it. He's the Savior. I believe the Savior. Don't you? Don't let anybody tell you that baptism is not necessary for salvation. Lord, be willing, the next time I preach, I want to talk about the right baptism. The right. Is the right. Dipping is the right. But is the right immersion. Turn away from that. Come back to the will of God. You do it through repentance.